What's good? What's poppin'? Talking about practice. Chico's only locally produced sports talk radio show on the way. But first, as always, we got to give a shout out to our friends, our underwriters over at Chico Velo, supporting bicycling, education, and advocacy since 1980. Chico Velo encourages you to ride your bicycle and park it safely at their bike valet when available at the Thursday night market and Saturday farmers market. For more information, you can visit chicovelo.org. You can also check them out on Facebook. Shouts to Chico Velo, but most importantly, ladies and gentlemen, shout out to you. Yes, you. We appreciate y'all rocking with us with the nonsense it is we got going on around here. We're playing shorthanded tonight, which means we're going to have some fun. A little more room to roam. Oh, my God. It's me and Rude Doug coming up right now.
We talking about practice. Not a game, not a game, not a game. We talking about practice. It's easy to sum it up. We just talk about practice. I mean, listen, we talking about practice. I mean, how silly is that, man? We talking about practice. Talking about practice, man.
Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am. We are talking about practice. Chico's only locally produced sports talk radio show. The world's greatest sports talk radio show, according to my mother. Once again, big shout out to you for joining us this evening. We are playing a little shorthanded, but my name is Jero Gilbert, co-host of the show, Jero Gilbert, as they say in Francais, oui, oui, le parlez-vous Francais.
All right.
Derek's in LA. He's hanging out with fam. Brad is drive-lagged? He's not jet-lagged. He's tired.
Tired, yes.
So he's out. But I got my man Rude Dog in the house, Rudy Vasquez.
Let's go, baby.
All right, so this happens a couple times a year where folks are... and for the most part, I'm always impressed by our dedication to the show. Because we only miss like maybe four Mondays a year. Every now and then we have a missing team member. This week we have 50% of the squad that you normally hear is out. Aaron will be, our foreign correspondent, will be in the airport during this, so she's gonna miss today. Oh yeah. Okay. So it's just you and me. We're just roaming the wild together, my friend. We got a lot to get to. Derek will be joining us at one point because we have to talk to him and just check in on the homie, see how he's feeling.
Yeah.
After the Dodgers got sent home by the Padres.
Yeah, at the same time, he did lightly call it, though.
He did. He did. His pessimism paid off.
Yes.
He was predicting that something bad was going to happen. He had an awful feeling all season long. he's been calling it out since
day one.
Yeah, really since the Dodgers started taking off in, like, month three of the season. Mm-hmm. When we kind of saw how this was all going to play out.
Yeah.
He's been calling it for a while, and I mean, their run differential was plus 100 this season. Everything about him was, I think it was close to plus 200.
Yeah, it was over 200 during the season.
Yeah.
I think it fell off towards the end, but the Dodgers had an insane year like they usually do. They always have a great regular season, but somehow, some way, Dave Roberts loves to, you know, mess things up.
Poop the bed, poop, butt soup. Performer of the week, Dave Roberts, and we'll get into that.
Yes, sir.
We're going to talk a little hoop. You got some picks coming up. We got all sorts of stuff, but let's get down to it. Week 6 is in the books, so I figured I had to bring it back, dude. Unfortunately for us, man, us Niners fans, It didn't go great yesterday.
It went horrible. That's what happened.
It really did. And it was a tough one.
Excuse me.
You're good. Are you dying? All right. So we have one. We're down to one host of the show as Rudy dies over there. But we have one rule around here at TBP, and it's simply...
Listen up, kids. Don't trust the Falcons.
I've said it once. I'll say it again. You cannot, under any circumstance, trust the Falcons.
As Jerome has always said, don't trust Atlanta.
Yeah.
You know, like, they have so many issues that Jerome loves to bring up.
Nice. Yeah, I can't go all season long and say don't trust the Falcons and pick them in the Super Bowl.
that would be great, I feel.
I can't pick Atlanta just because all year long, since I think week 3 or 4, I've been saying don't trust Atlanta on this show. So it's not just that. They have had a history of being untrustworthy. And so until they won the Super Bowl, I'm going to continue to say don't trust the Falcons. And if you're betting out there, take New England.
There you have it.
You can never trust them. You can never trust them to win when you need them to win. Yep. You can never trust them to lose when they're supposed to lose. What you can trust them to do this season
is to cover.
Yeah. They are 6-0 against the spread this year.
Indeed,
so if nothing more, you have to give them their just desserts
for doing that
constantly
alone.
Covering the spread.
That's crazy to do, especially in today's world and in the NFL betting this year. Has been it's been ugly for everyone, but anywho, going back to the game, what is Kyle Shanahan doing? He's giving the rock to Jimmy G, dude. Jimmy G threw the ball 41 times. Jeff Wilson Jr. ran the ball 7 times. We're a running team, dude. What is he? Is he blind? Is he scared? And is he getting like? I'm clueless. I'm speechless. I'm pissed off. He needs to go. I'm sick and tired of him doing what he's been doing all year. Yes, we had some injuries on defense. Yes, Bosa didn't play. Yes, Mosley, blah, blah. We had some linemen go out early. We were down early, but we came back with ease. We came back with ease, and we ended up tying the game. And then at the end of the day, Marcus Mariota comes down storming the damn field like he's, you know, like a Heisman Trophy winner.
Mm-hmm.
And
like the former Heisman Trophy winner he is.
Yeah.
It was brutal. I knew after the first drive I was being very pessimistic in multiple Niners group chats that
in. Oh yeah.
And I did something that was really therapeutic for myself yesterday. And I can't remember the last time I've done this. I just turned the game off in the third quarter.
Really?
Yeah. I just started watching Better Call Saul. My fantasy.
Oh, you stopped watching completely.
Yeah, I took a break.
Damn.
Well,
that's great. That's hard to do.
I was just like, if the Niners come storming back, I'll know about it because my group chat will start going crazy,
blowing up,
right?
Yeah.
And I just wasn't enjoying the morning slate of football. Even though a lot of underdogs won, there wasn't a lot of close games in that 10 o'clock window.
That is true.
And I was just like, man, this is a lot of my bandwidth to be. You know, an investment of fantasy football and the bets I laid down and just, you know,
it's hard,
rooting for the Niners and all that. Yeah. And so I said, I'm going to unplug. I'm out of here.
That's savage, dude.
I got to tell you. So Steph comes home yesterday and she's like, you're not watching football? Right? Because she was out of town. She went to the country concert. And I was like, no, the Niners are going to lose. And she goes, to who? And I said, Atlanta. And she goes, the Niners are losing to the Falcons? And I was like, yeah, babe. And she's like, is it your guys' rule? Like, don't trust the Falcons? I was like, yeah, babe. That's where we're at.
Avid listener. Shouts out to Steph for that one.
Yeah. But she just started cracking up. And I was just like, yeah. Why do I care so much? This is so stupid.
It's not. It's just being a loyal fan, man. We grew up loving the Niners. And it's hard not to love them. And as much as you want to hate them, like I hate them right now. I don't hate our team. I hate our head coach. It's hard not to love them and hate them. And it's one of those teams that you just have to roll with them, regardless of what happens.
So you're already done with Kyle Shanahan.
Oh, yeah. I've been
There's done. No going but back. No,
I was done when you were done with him in the Super Bowl when we were, you know, in the lead, going into the halftime with a minute and a half left.
Yeah.
Oh, we felt comfortable being having the lead against the Chiefs. I'm like, bro, it's the damn Chiefs.
Yeah,
it's
you need Patrick to be up
Mahomes.
Like
that's Andy Reid over.
Yeah,
there.
You need to be up 70 points to feel real comfortable.
Exactly.
Yeah, yeah. No, I'm with you, bro. I mean, I think Kyle Shanahan obviously, his offensive scheme, typically, he's been regarded as a genius, but this year the offense has not been working. Now, I am curious to know if it's because he on some level, he had to have inserted a totally different offense for Trey Lance to operate this season. 100%. And we saw that in game one, which was really hard to see anything, but we were seeing a lot of not even RPOs so much as just straight up designed runs. Yeah. And I'm imagining off of that, there was going to be a lot of RPOs for Mitchell, and Debo, you know, Jeff Wilson, and all these guys.
Anyone. Brandon, all those guys could have run that.
Right. And then you don't, in week two, you know, and was it the second quarter or first quarter?
Was it week two or week three?
Pretty sure it was week two, wasn't it?
Okay, yeah.
Against the Seahawks, right?
Yes.
Yeah. We lose Trey Lance, right, obviously. And you imagine that the training camp had to be predicated on this new offense. And Jimmy G wasn't even practicing with the team. He was off to the side most of training camp.
He was doing push-ups and sit-ups.
So I think a lot of the complaints about the offense are justified in the sense that, the offense looks really poopy, right?
Not on the same page.
But I have to imagine that Kyle Shanahan didn't become an idiot all of a sudden.
And at the same time, he's been on the damn team for the past 3 years. Dude.
No doubt, but that's what I'm saying. I'm guessing training camp was mainly dedicated to a different type of...
Yes, you're right.
Different type of offense, different packages that they simply can't run with Jimmy G that they felt they could with Trey Lance. And so I knew it was going to take a while for the offense to catch on when Trey Lance went out. What was surprising, even with all the injuries, was the opening drive. The Falcons just driving the ball down the field and scoring a touchdown. Mm-hmm. That hasn't been done in like 10 or 12 weeks against the Niners. So I was really surprised to see that, as anyone would be who's been paying any attention. I'm not done with Kyle. I'm willing to give him time. Just when Trey Lance went down, my hopes for the season went down with it. I still think we can make the playoffs. We're in a pretty
we have the
crappy division.
Pretty much have the best team the Niners have seen on paper in quite some time.
Yeah,
this is going.
We're
back
just
to
injured Harvard. Again,
yeah. Again, and
reminiscent
again.
Of 2020 when everyone went out by week four against the Jets. Our starting quarterback was out. Bosa was out. Everyone was injured that year, and it's starting to look like that again this year.
Everyone was out,
and it's just it's heartbreaking. But we'll keep it moving because instead of being depressed and upset about the Niners, we can laugh at Brad's Green Bay Packers. Because y'all just lost to the Jets in Lambeau.
At home, dude.
In Lambeau. The Jets came back in Lambeau. Jets were 1 of 11 on third down conversions and still won that game.
Still won the damn game, dude.
That's crazy.
Who does that?
Football's, dude. Football is weird. It's a weird sport. That's the only thing I can say to explain that. The one thing I would say that is interesting, or the most interesting storyline to me here, is what's going on with Aaron Rodgers. This season, he hasn't had the numbers we're used to him having. You would imagine, obviously, his play would dip a little bit with losing Devontae Adams. But it's been a precipitous fall this season.
Yeah, it's been night and day for that team. The O-line isn't there. He got sacked four or five times for 36 yards combined.
Yeah.
Which is, that's insane, dude, in one game.
Yeah.
He went 26 for 41, 246 and one touchdown. He didn't throw a pick, but it's weird. It's weird he's not connecting with anyone out there. I mean, he doesn't have anyone to throw the bar besides, what's his face?
Lazard,
yeah.
Yeah. Well, I'm curious because Aaron Jones was running the hell out of the ball and for a couple games this season. They just seem to get away from that run-pass balance. And I understand the temptation with having a quarterback the caliber of Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I'm confused as to why they got away from it. So, the Packers not looking great, and that's always great. You know what else is great? The Cowboys losing. That's always good for me.
Especially on national television, dude. A prime game.
Yep. Yep, I saw our boy Pepe, who is a big Cowboys fan, on Saturday, and it just brought joy to my heart to know that the very next evening he was somewhere sad because his team lost. And I never feel that way against my auntie Ariel. I love you. Thank you for listening. But I just I don't like your team. I don't like the Cowboys.
The whole world hates the Cowboys.
Yes, except for your millions of bandwagon fans.
Yeah, which is, I don't know how there's so many damn Cowboy fans in.
It's rough. It's rough. I did want to talk about Baltimore. They just continue to struggle. That secondary is still banged up.
Oh, man.
And just the lack of weapons. I mean, J.K. Dobbins, okay. He's pretty decent.
Oh, he's good.
And Duvernay and what?
Yeah, Kenyon Drake?
No. What's their other... wide receiver. I can't. Why am I drawing such a blank right now?
Mark Andrews.
No,
Mark Andrews is a sav.
Yeah, Mark Andrews, obviously.
Tall, skinny dude.
Yeah. Oh, God. It's going to drive me crazy. Anyway, it's just so inconsistent this season. And is it just the defense? I'm not exactly sure.
It's both. It's both. And it's not throughout the whole game. They dominate three quarters of the game and they just, you know, they just go to poop.
Yep.
In the fourth quarter.
Yep.
The past, three, four games, they have just blown it. And they're blowing it against a, quote-unquote, 3-4-1 Giants team.
Yeah.
That has no one besides Saquon Barkley, who is playing lights out. He is playing pissed off. And
yeah.
He is,
Giants are 5-1 right now.
5-1, dude.
I will say
Daniel Jones 5-1.
When we're raising the alarm about Baltimore, to be fair to them, they've lost three games this season by a combined 7 points.
Yeah, but they're blowing leads.
Yes, in every one of these games,
every one of them losses
against the Bills, against the Dolphins, and now against the Giants.
The Dolphins was worse because they're up by like 18-20 points in the fourth with 6 minutes left.
Yeah, that was crazy.
Tua throws for what 500-600 yards, dude. It's hard to see because Baltimore is a good team. I'm a huge fan of Lamar Jackson. I'm a huge fan of John Harbaugh. I mean, he's been there, 10-plus years?
Yep.
And
I would say closer to 15 because he was a head coach in 2012 when they beat us in the Super Bowl.
Okay.
And he had been there for a while already.
Yeah, you're probably right, yeah. So, it's weird, man. It's really, really – it's too weird, especially seeing it on the gambling aspect. It's like, oh, okay. I got this one. Oh, you don't got anything. And I taught myself that you don't have anything till there's zero on that damn clock, dude.
Yeah, facts. Speaking of that, how'd you do betting yesterday? I know we're going to get into your picks, but just out of pure curiosity.
Oh, your boy was down heavy.
Mm-hmm.
Too heavy. Too heavy that I didn't leave the damn house because I was so stressed out. Your boy took... So what I technically do, I pick two teams that I love, and I bet those individually, and then I parlay them with two other teams. So there's usually four teams that I like to roll with. This weekend, Packers money line, Tampa Bay money line, Baltimore money line. So I parlayed all those damn teams, bet them individually, and we all know what the hell happened then. So I'm like, okay, stressed out a little bit, but it's, you know, we still got four or five other games towards the end. Your boy rolls with the Bills, heavy. I mean, I'm talking about heavy, heavy. Roll with them, and thank God they pulled it out.
Yep.
Patrick Mahomes had the ball left with a minute left. I'm like, oh, God, here we go.
Yep,
but
yep.
Bills' defense is the truth, man.
Yeah, they're really, really good.
They are nasty, and I don't know if you guys heard that story about their safety or cornerback that had a rib injury. He wasn't clear to fly, so he hired a driver to drive him 15 hours to the game. And playing, he's a captain as well. So that team is dedicated to win. They're playing pissed off football. Josh Allen is a machine. That was a great game in general. They both threw over 300 yards. It was a fun game to watch.
The AFC is exciting this year. The NFC, however, not so much. We know the Eagles are good. I don't know if any other team in the NFC is good. Everyone is in the mix.
Everyone is beating everyone right now.
Yeah, it's besides a lot more parity than we've seen in a long time.
Yeah.
The Eagles are the only undefeated team left in the NFL, and they're the only team that I can say, without a doubt, is a good team in the NFC.
Yeah, solid team.
Yeah.
On all three sides of the football.
Yeah, I was listening to the Dan Le Batard show with Stu Gotts earlier, and Stu Gotts suggested that the Bills and Chiefs just play a best of three for the Super Bowl. That would get rid of the playoffs.
That would be sick.
That would be fun.
I would pay to see that, bro.
That would be great.
I'd pay per view to see that. We need something like that. Do we need to? And then going back to the NFL, well, that's a grind my gears. I'll say that
okay.
later.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah, we definitely got some grinds my gears coming up.
Going back to my bets, I'm sorry.
Yes.
Killed it with the Bills, thank God. Killed it with the Eagles Sunday night game. The past couple of Sundays, I've been catching myself chasing on Sunday night games and Monday night games, and I've been hitting, dude, every damn Sunday night.
Oh, okay.
Game
that's always
the
nice.
Over and under. Knock on wood, because I got your boy has the under tonight at 47.5 and the Chargers money line. So we'll see how that's going. But anywho, so yeah, somehow, some way, your boy ended up, you know, almost breaking even, which should have been an ugly, ugly day. One of those days that I'd call my mom like, hey, I need to stay at my aunt's house in Mexico or be pleading to, you know, Canada. You're not going to see your boy for a minute because, yeah, your boy's down big time. But, yeah, Josh Allen, the Bills, shouts to you. Jalen Hurts, shouts to you as well. And Jerry Jones, you're still owning the Cowboys, dude. Thank you.
Do you watch Patrick Mahomes and Josh Allen just get jealous at other teams have them as their quarterbacks?
Oh, especially Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah.
Because we had a chance to get him.
Yeah.
Yeah, that 1 year. I forgot who he picked up. I think one like Solomon Thomas or some stupid pick. That.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. At least we're not the Bears and pick like Mitch Trubisky, and that was a complete failure, but it doesn't matter. But watching Patrick Mahomes does really hurt me a lot.
Yeah, it breaks my heart a little bit every time I see him playing.
Like, he could have been the Niner, and God knows how many how many rings we would have if we had them.
Oh, God.
Under center.
Yeah. What could have been? What could have been?
Could have, would have, should have.
Yeah. Let's keep it moving. It's been a while, but I think it's appropriate just because NBA season starts tomorrow.
Ooh-wee.
The NBA season starts tomorrow. Let's go. Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am. I wanted to just kind of break down some of the storylines I'm most excited about this season to kind of get us ready for the NBA season. And in no particular order, Ja, baby. Ja Morant. I'm just excited to see his development.
Oh, yeah.
He's just such a fun player to watch. With that said, I do think the Grizzlies are going to finish outside of the top six in the West.
100%.
West is absolutely loaded. And they're a young team, and I think, who knows? Who knows how last year could have gone if Ja Morant didn't get injured? I mean, do the Warriors even get past him? Who knows? But I do think that arrogance that he has is awesome, but there's an unearned arrogance amongst that team, and I think in the playoffs, experience usually wins out.
Yeah, the crazy side about Ja Morant being out all those games last season was they played better without him.
They did. They had a better win-loss record.
Win-loss. I'm not saying, yeah, they were just beating teams, blah, blah, blah. But it's just crazy to think that player, that good, your team could be Blair. I guess it's the next man up, and everyone's like, okay, we need to step our stuff up right now, or else we're not going to make it.
Yep.
But Ja Morant, he's the truth. He's my early candidate to win MVP next year.
Mm-hmm.
So, I'm excited as much as you are, dude, because Ja Morant is the truth. And the way that he drives the ball to the basket, dude, he's cutthroat, dude. He's a small dude, skinny at least. I don't know how tall he is, but skinny dude, and he's not afraid to bang in there with the big boys, dude. So
Ja Morant, plus 1,400. That's great value. Man. Futures odds on the MVP.
Let's go.
So you heard it here first. That's plus 1,400.
That's
put
solid.
A little uni on there, you know what I mean? All right. Another reason I'm really excited for the season, the Warriors youngsters. I'm really looking forward to having all our guys back, to seeing the development for guys like Kuminga, guys like Moses Moody, to have Wiseman back.
Wiseman.
Yeah.
I'm excited to see
why. We finally get a backup center to spell Kevon Looney a little bit, and so I'm really looking forward to seeing how those guys look, and especially now that you don't have Gary Payton, you don't have Otto Porter Jr., there has some minutes have just opened up for these guys.
Lot of minutes.
Yeah, and so I'm looking forward to seeing how they mesh, develop and see what role they play this year.
How do you feel about the you think that Draymond Jordan Poole is going to get squashed up, or is it going to linger throughout the season? Because he did, homie got slept, dude. That wasn't a slap. He got knocked out.
He did get knocked out. Yeah, he got absolutely rocked. It was, I mean, completely over the line. I think that what Draymond did just made it easier for the Warriors to move off of him.
This is his last year, right?
He has 2 years left, but I think next year is a player option.
And then that's going to bring, so if they pick up that player option or he signs or whatnot, the Warriors will owe over $500 million.
On the luxury tax, yeah. Because they just signed Poole, they just signed Wiggins.
Yeah.
I do think that in that Draymond punch, he made it easier because he's such a fan favorite. Yeah. He's been there for four titles.
Klay Thompson. Those three players are the Warriors.
Yes, that's correct. But I think swinging on a young superstar in the making and the optics of it, too. It was one thing to hear about it once you saw the video. Draymond is a seasoned vet, and he's a leader on the team. He's a team captain. You can't be doing that.
No.
And especially, when you go to the optics, he's considerably bigger. He's not much taller than Poole.
He's a solid dude,
right? He's built like a tight end, you know? And once you see him just slump him like that and then catch him because dude's just going to the floor, it's a bad look. But to answer your question, that was a very long-winded answer.
You're good.
I don't know that it festers in a negative way. Oftentimes, these things
it's either going to break a team or bring them even closer.
And I just heard a great podcast about this, Basketball Illuminati. Keep your third eye open. Check that Basketball Illuminati last week's episode. They talked about this. They went through the history of fights between Kobe and Shaq when they got into it in a pro-am, between Jordan and Kerr, and all these different fights that were publicized. And in most cases, the team got better after which. And so I think there is a way to kind of embrace it and say, all right, competitive fire, us against the world. You know, look how the media treated us when this happened and it got out of house. Because Steve Kerr continued to talk about keeping that noise in house. And leaking that video is a big deal. Everyone's like, oh, is it video coordinator? It's pretty obvious to me. It's no one who works in the front office, because regardless of how crappy their job is, if it's a staffer or if it's someone, a video coordinator, they're in it for the long run. They're trying to make it in the NBA, and you're persona non grata if you get called out for this and you're done working in the NBA. So my guess is you have someone like a security guard or someone who can go move laterally to another company who doesn't need the NBA necessarily, right? And
it's
working
dream job.
TMZ reportedly paid between $50,000 and $100,000. It's some low level worker. Yeah. It is not someone who high ranking official within the Warriors. They're not doing that.
And they probably paid way more than that. I think that sounds pretty low.
Yeah, I mean, it's all speculation, I believe. I don't think that was reported.
Yeah.
And that's a pretty big gap if that is reported.
It's either 50 or 100. I'm thinking more like 200K.
Yeah, I can see that.
They probably said that initially, and they're like, okay, we'll send it over to you, what you got. And they're like, okay, dude, open up the checkbook. What do you want, dude? So
Another reason I'm excited, Brooklyn Nets. I feel like that could be really messy, and I look forward to that. You have Ben Simmons coming back to play this year,
which is a head case. I mean, I'm not talking.
And they could be really good too. Yeah. That's the crazy thing.
When I said head case, I don't mean to talk smack on his issues that he's dealing with, depression or whatnot, because that is a real thing. But at the same time, I can't wait to KD just to put him on blast. Like, you know, what the hell are you doing? But you have three all-stars playing on that team. They could be really good, dude.
They could be
really, really good if they wanted to be.
They are currently plus 760. to when the books change depending on what book you're looking at. They're anywhere between plus 760 to plus 900.
And then over under on games, there are 50.5 to win for the season. So
yeah, you know what's crazy? The Celtics.
They're
favored to win the championship. They're missing Robert Williams for the first 2 months of the season,
which is huge.
And did y'all not hear about Epic?
Homie, yeah. What's her face?
Nia Long. What are we doing? Their head coach is literally out for the season, suspended because he was having some type of inappropriate relationship with a subordinate in house. And he is. Their head coach is missing.
He's a big piece
over some drama.
Doing. Yeah.
And they're just like, oh, yeah, nope, Boston, we're going to favor them.
Yeah, which is why. How?
Yeah, it's crazy. But going back to the Nets, I just think they could be really good or they could be a spectacular disaster. Mm-hmm. And I really look forward to that. Speaking of spectacular, I think the tanking this season with Victor Wembanyama waiting in the wings to be the number one pick is going to be so blatant for the bottom teams the second half of the season. I think it's going to make the trade deadline incredible this year.
Oh, yeah.
Because teams that had high hopes and start off a little slow are going to say, let's sell the farm.
Yep. Sell
and
everyone.
Let's start over. Mm-hmm. And what the NBA did by flattening the odds. So basically, it was all weighted before, right? If you were the worst team, you got the most amount of ping pong balls, and the lottery meant you had the best chance to win the number one pick. Now, I believe it is the bottom four or bottom, I think it's the bottom four team, all have equal ping pong balls now. And so they flattened they flattened the ability to get the number one pick, which means more teams are in the running now.
Yep.
The way they have tried to counterbalance that is with the play-in game, which I think is awesome. But I just think because Victor is waiting there, it's going to go crazy when it comes to the tanking, and it's going to be so blatantly obvious, and it's going to be fun. So
the bottom four teams projected by Vegas.
Thank you.
Are the Rockets at 23.5 expected. Mm-hmm. The Jazz, which if you guys don't remember, they sold everyone. Rudy Gobert and Donovan Mitchell are gone.
Yep.
23.5. Pacers, 22.5. And the Spurs at 22.5. And I don't know if you remember their head coach, Spurs head coach.
Greg Popovich?
Popovich said early in the week when a reporter asked him, oh, how do you feel about so-and-so betting $1,000 on the Spurs to win the chains? Oh, what is he, stupid, dude? We're not going to even make the playoffs. We're going to win like 10 games. He said something around those lines. So it's going to be interesting on how those lines, the spreads come out. Because it's going to be pretty big. And might as well bet against them, dude, because they have no one on those teams, especially those four teams.
Oh, yeah. No, I'm with you. I would bet the unders on their season totals for all of them as well.
100%.
All right. This is FM 90.1 KZFR Chico. We are people-powered community radio for the Sacramento Valley, the foothills, and beyond. I want to give a shout out to you once again for rocking with us. We also want to give a shout out to our friends over at Paradise Community Guilds, fostering community by nurturing, practicing stewardship of nature, and promoting values of sustainability. Paradise Community Guilds invites all people of goodwill and community spirit to help us carry out that intent. To get involved, visit paradiseguilds.org. Also on Facebook at 762-1490. Once again, we appreciate y'all rocking with us. The show on the way. We're going to get Derek here in a couple minutes and give him... We'll just give him the floor, really, to tell us how he feels about his Dodgers. This is a welfare check more than anything. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
This is a welfare check, so we just want to make sure our guy's doing all right. So we'll get him up in a minute. But because we are short-staffed today, y'all get a treat. We're going to take a little music break. My man Stephen Joseph dropped the Book of Joseph last year. The album's incredible. I genuinely believe it to be an underrated or low-key classic album. From top to bottom, it's a great album, and it's only 35 minutes, so go check it out. But let's get into one of his tracks while we get Derek on the phone, and we'll get right back to it. Sound good?
When I'm down to my last, I want my fans to hold me down like my arms in a cast. Been relying on some people that can't finish the task. Feel the only time they listen when I'm talking some cash. Homie, that's bread talk. They don't care about the substance in your catalog. This ain't the message that'll make it on the trending blogs. Disadvantage, watch me go and flip it like a coin toss. Missing this dead loss, I'm out of here. Seeing where I started, looking back on my past. I could talk about the records in the goal I surpassed. I could spaz on other rappers, but I give them a pass. They don't care about the message.
Alrighty, that's the homie Stephen Joseph does the hook knock, but now we have to bring on the one, the only, Derek Isomaki, co-host down in LA right now. How you doing, bud?
I'm alive. That's all I can say right now. I don't know how alive I feel right now. I mean, for those of you out there who are took my word to the bank, I hope you did. I called it. Wish I put money in that bank right there, because I could have made this dreadful feeling a little bit nicer with a little cash on hand. But no, I'm instead sitting here with my tears to drown in that sorrow of another failed Dodger season. So, once again, living up to our expectations. That's what we do best. And, yeah, no, I hate my life. I pretty much hate it right now. I hate a lot of things. If this is a series that finally gets Dave Roberts fired, I'll rejoice that moment in time right there. But oh my goodness, I don't know. I really don't know. I'm distraught. I'm heartbroken. At the same point in time, I knew it was coming. So it's like, how can I hate myself for being in a situation? I knew it was happening. I knew it was. And who am I? You know,
We did mention at the top of the show that you, your pessimism paid off, that you had been predicting this for at least half of the regular season, that none of this really matters because you just felt this way. You had a gut feeling that you couldn't explain. We asked you to explain it multiple times, and you're just like, I don't know. I just have this feeling. It's just not going to happen for us. And when the Padres advanced, you said you predicted that too. You said you didn't really want to see the Padres. And here we are now, my friend.
Yeah, it really was. Like, this entire season, as much as 111 games is great, it's throw it out the window. It means absolutely nothing. I'd rather us lose 111 games and not make October. That's honestly what I'd rather have that season than have the best team in baseball, and have had the best team in baseball for damn near the past decade, and had nothing to show for it except for a 2020 World Series that we all know is tainted. And any Dodger fan out there that tries to say it's not tainted, you're just lying to yourself right now, and it annoys me when you lie to yourself. You're trying to lie to me, and I know what we went through. It was a fake season. Yes, it was a real championship in that instance, but it's tainted. It's not 162 games, and that's what really matters in this sport, is the length, the longevity of it, how long of a marathon it is. And you cut a marathon in half, it's no longer a marathon. You know, that's a half marathon, and we mock those consistently.
So we can't, oh, my God.
You know, as a Dodger fan, you know, it's just like, I just started off really, I loved it. It was looking great, but there's just something about this team when it hits October that we just fall on our knees, and I don't know, I just feel like something has to change, and if it's not Dave Roberts, I don't know what else is there to change. I mean, it's just like, it's preposterous to me that we have this good of a team for as long as we've had, and we have a 2020 World Series that, again, tainted, you know, and Like, I can't cry anymore, man. I have no more tears to give. I've got no more. My caring for it is like, you have to earn me back now, Dodgers. You have to win a World Series without me watching it for me to really care at this point in time, because it's just too much for me. I can't take this emotional distress, because, like I said, I lived in my pessimism for years and it paid off, and I hate the fact that it paid off. But I just have to. I can't be an optimist and then like, oh, yeah, it's going to fail. Even though I can't be an optimist, because I know already our history. I know what I am. I'm a pessimist to begin with. So if I tried to take any type of optimism, it would just hurt even more right now. So I don't know how much more I could hurt. It sucks.
That was just beautiful. Thank you so much, dude. And you just made my night, because that was the first time I've ever heard you say that 2020 season was tainted.
Yeah, I was shocked to hear that. Thank you for that.
I'm pretty sure I've said it before that I know it was. Okay. We went through something. I think I feel like I've mentioned before that I know that it is.
Not on the show.
Now. Not on air. This not is the first air. Time.
Fine.
This
Maybe is I haven't first. Said it on air. So, fans, you're welcome right now. I have always realized that, yes, I know what we went through at this point. But we all went through that, and we came out on top. So we all went through that one jointed season, and we won that one. But, again, not enough. We should have had at least one more World Series win, if not two more. If we lost this one to the Padres and we had three more in the bank, I'd be like, okay, hey, we can't win them all. But we don't even win one. Like, we barely win one. And it is, I don't know how much more I can take, man.
I will come to your defense with one thing here. And the one thing that I can say is I thought some of the memes were funny, but I did not love the Giants fans coming out of the woodworks to troll the Dodgers when the Dodgers did beat us in the playoffs last year, and we are nowhere to be found when it came to the postseason.
Yeah, you can't be doing that, man.
I get it. Yeah. I get it. Listen, we hate the Dodgers. I get it. But you really don't have much of a leg to stand on.
Nothing at all.
When they beat us last year in the postseason, and we played 500 ball, and the Dodgers won 111 games to make the postseason this year. I get it. I get that you want to troll them. But I just thought, yeah, maybe a little too far. This looks pretty petty, but pettiness is why we love sports, right?
100%. And like I said, I would expect nothing less from Giants fans to do that. I love you guys for not coming after me. You already know I'm already in my agony and I'm wallowing in my own despair, so you don't need to pile on. But I get with Giants fans, you're supposed to do that. Same point in time, I hate you all. You're all like terrible people. And we still beat you all last year. But I can't even hang my hat on that, really. Like, it still sucks that that's what I'm trying to hang my hat on. The fact that I beat you all in the playoffs. Like, that doesn't... I need a World Series. I need a World Series. And it's like, it's so infuriating to me that this team makes October baseball the worst for me, when October baseball is supposed to be the best. And I'd rather, honestly, like I said, I'd rather not participate in October baseball to be able to watch it without the idea that we're going to lose in October. I can't take it anymore.
You just want to be able to detach. I got it. I don't even know if I should bring this up, because we only have 18 minutes left in the show, but I feel like I have to get your take on it.
Okay.
So, in retrospect, how about Dave Roberts pulling Kershaw to be ready for the postseason in that perfect game when he pulled him in the seventh inning?
All for naught, man. Oh, man. That would have been something. If Kershaw was able to get a perfect game, that would have been insane. We didn't have one this season. You know, we got a couple of no-hitters, but no perfect game. We only had one real no-hitter. I think we had a couple of combined no-hitters, but only one real no-hitter, if I think of. But either way, no perfect game, and that would have been special. That would have been a nice little cherry to hang our hat on, because Kershaw's, you know, no matter what, Kershaw's our man, and we love him. But, yeah, I mean, Dave Roberts, again, if this is the series that gets him fired, then I'll take it, because I've been calling for his job for years now. And if something doesn't change, I don't know what the change you're going to make is to make us overcome this hurdle right now, because there's clearly something that happens with Joe Roberts in October where he just makes rash decisions that bite us in the ass.
Yeah, Dave Roberts has to go. I think that's the general consensus from everyone. he's just got to go.
Dodgers fans, we've been talking that for quite some time right now, ever since I was after him in 2017, even though we lost the Astros in the cheating year. 18 was, that was a Boston team that was meant to win. 19 was a year that I think he really blew it, and 21 was another year he really blew it. So he's blown it, and then this year. I mean, I don't think he really blew it this season so much as our offense is just stagnant and awful, but he did do some questionable things in that Game 4 in terms of pitching changes that just really, really dug our grave even deeper and made it impossible for us to get out of it.
We appreciate you you opening up to us today, sharing with the audience. You were a good sport.
I'm glad to hear some grievances right now. I haven't really talked about it since then. I didn't watch the game. I couldn't watch it. I heard it.
Yeah.
I knew it was happening.
Yeah.
It was, for all of you out there, the pain is real. But I'm trying to push it down as much as possible like a good guy I am, you know? Just keep the pain down.
My man. All right, brother. Yo, enjoy time with the fam. Tell everyone we said hello, and we will see you next week.
Will do, y'all. What up, party people? Love you all, the listeners. I thank you all for sticking with us, and you guys as well for calling and reminding me of the sorrow that I am as a Dodger. Thank
you. We got you, bro. We'll talk to you soon.
Bye.
All right, man. Peace. that was great. I really appreciate him. You know, I don't know that I would have taken it that well.
I think he took it pretty well since he knew what was coming.
But years, he did know. Yeah, he, like we said earlier, he was predicting this. And just years, 10 years making the postseason in a row, absolute regular season dominance. And to have your one World Series be in a weird year, COVID year.
In a half year.
Not in front of fans.
That too, yeah.
You know, it's tough. And, you know, knowing Derek as long as I've known him, I think winning a World Series means more to Derek than it does to any one of my friends at this point. And I don't think... And he admitted as much, that he didn't get the true celebration of winning a World Series, being that it was a World Series with an asterisk. Mm-hmm. There was no parade. Yep. You know, it was just a weird season. There was not a single fan at any one of those games. It's not the same, right? Just like the Lakers championship, and I know you're a Lakers fan, this isn't to hate.
It's the same thing.
It's just not the same in the bubble, right? It doesn't hold the same weight.
Exactly.
At the end of the day, it counts the same, but from the fans' perspective, it doesn't feel the same.
Nope.
Right? LeBron can say I have four titles. Kershaw can say I'm a World Series winner. But at the end of the day, it just does not feel the same.
It's not even close.
No.
Not even close.
So there you have it, ladies and gentlemen.
At the same time, Dodgers could burn and go to hell. I hate the Dodgers, I don't feel bad for Derek. Sorry. You're my boy. I love you to death. But I just don't feel I don't feel bad for you.
Fair enough.
To all my other Dodger fans. Padres suck too, but I hate the Dodgers a little bit more.
I'm with you. Let's get to some picks, shall we?
In this lifetime, you don't have to prove nothing to nobody except yourself. And after what you've gone through, if you haven't done that by now, it ain't gonna never happen.
I gotta tell you, it's just occurred to me what the student body has been chanting for the last 2 or 3 minutes. It's the name Rudy.
All right, guys. Last week was brutal. I already mentioned it earlier, but hey, today is the new week. Oh, I forgot to mention my my worst bet of the week last week.
Yes, let's get into that.
I thought it was probably, I was just laughing the whole time. It was, game four of the Astros Mariners. Over and under was 7. I'm like, you know, the Mariners should win this game. Astros have a great offense. I'm going to take the over. What happens? The complete opposite. 18 innings of 0-0 baseball.
Oh,
1-0 end. And I'm like, dude, see? This is what happens to your boys. So I was laughing the whole time. I'm like, yeah, it is what it is. But, hey, it's a new week.
It's a new week, baby.
New money. So let's get to it. First pick of the week. I like the Texans on the road, on the spread against the Raiders. Both coming off a bye. The Texans are that sneaky team, dude. So take the points. I'm going to buy a point at +8. I think it's going to be a close one. But, I think they could even win it, dude. Who knows? Second pick of the week. This is going to be an unpopular one with a lot of you guys. But, hey, let's do it. I got the Niners.
No.
Niners at home against who? The Chiefs.
Wow.
I'm going to take the points at +3. I'm going to buy a point, get them at +4.
Wow.
Depending on our defense, if we come back healthy, it really depends on Bosa. If Bosa does not play this game, I'm not going to touch this game. So if Bosa's playing, I'm taking the points at +4.
I like the caveat. That is important.
Yeah, that is huge. Important.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then my other team, hold on. Oh, I'm taking the Jets.
Yes.
All right. J-E-T-S.
Like
Jets.
Let's
on the
go,
road
baby.
Against the Broncos. I'm taking the points on that one. They're at plus 2.5 right now. So let's get that money, boys. Let's get it.
I like it. I look forward to it. Let's see what happens.
See
this
how
weekend.
They pan out, man.
Yeah,
I don't want to be stressing out and not leaving the house again. But hey, let's go.
I did want to get into some more hoop, just because again the NBA season starts tomorrow. And this season, for whatever reason, I just have more higher hopes for this season. I'm just really excited, and I'm not exactly sure. Well, maybe it was kind of the slow start to the NFL season. This season hasn't had, to me at least, it hasn't had the drama of some past seasons. It hasn't been as intriguing, and I'm sure that'll change. I think a lot of that has been the parity, right? We don't have these teams that you just hate because you're like, oh, who the hell is going to beat these guys? Mm-hmm. You don't have your Pats from back in the day. You know, the Chiefs obviously look great. The Bills look great. The Eagles look great. But you don't have that dynasty team that you're rooting against necessarily. And then in the division we're in, with the Niners fans, the division we see the most, they're all a bunch of 500 teams.
Yeah, we're all in the middle.
Yeah, everyone's
stuck right there. We don't want to be better. We don't want to be worse.
Right, everyone is right there. So
the Rams sucks.
Yeah.
Niners suck. Cardinals suck. We all suck.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So this is why I want to talk some hoops, because I am really excited about the NBA season. And one of the things that I am really intrigued to see this year are the Lakers. And
really?
Yes, I'm very interested to see how they're going to be. At least starting the season, you have a healthy Anthony Davis, which Lakers have not had in a few years to start the season.
Yeah, well, the only year we had him healthy is during COVID when we won.
Right.
But that was a shortened season.
That's correct. And I'm really interested to see how this Russell Westbrook thing goes. I've been talking about it all off season. I am super curious to see how this goes. Russell Westbrook made it to where he made it in life because he's stubborn.
Oh, yeah.
And he's a really tough guy to play with at this point in his career because he's stubborn.
Player. He's stubborn and he's not the same player that he used to be, man.
Yeah, I mean, you look at the transformation for someone like a Carmelo Anthony, who laughed at the idea of coming off the bench and a year later decided, I'm going to take a role coming off the bench, right?
He killed with Portland.
He was
good with us as well.
Yeah, he played a role for the Lakers last season. And I'm just curious, I don't know if Russell Westbrook has that in him, because he's always been undersized. He wasn't a big prospect coming out of high school. He wasn't a big prospect coming out of college, and he has defied all the odds to make it to where he's made it. And I'm just curious to see how that works with Pat Bev there now, this new look Lakers team. I'm just really curious.
I'm intrigued myself. I expect nothing from us at all.
Really?
We have the same team that we had last year, besides one or two players. And those two players are who? Patrick Beverley and Dennis Schroeder, which he's out for the first like 2 or 3 weeks of the season anyways. So, but we pretty much have the same damn team. It really is going to come down to AD being healthy and AD putting in the work, because it's throughout his whole career he's lazy over the offseason. But who knows? This is all just speculation. But he is injury prone. He's a big dude. That's what happens. LeBron is going to get his. He always gets his. He's going to average 25 to 28 points a game. You know, 8 to 10 boards, 8 to 10 assists. That's natural. Mm. But it really is going to come down to AD's health and him being on the floor. If he stays healthy, I'd say a top 6 finish, maybe.
I think so too. Lakers are 45.5. Are you going over? Under.
Oh, under 100%.
You're going under.
Yeah, I'd say 40. I think we won 38 games last year, 37 games last year, around there. Give
yeah.
Yeah, I'd say about four. It's going to be close. I'd say 42, 43.
So you're thinking 500. You're going to be around 500 this season.
Yeah.
Interesting. I honestly think that the Lakers are going to be significantly. I think they're going to be significantly better than last year, right around that. I think they're going to be around 48, 49, 50 wins this season.
It could happen, man.
I just don't see that team imploding again if they stay somewhat healthy.
Somewhat healthy, no BS between, you know, it's going to blow off between Patrick and Russell.
It has, you imagine it will.
Yeah, it has. There's no way around that. It's just a timeline ready to explode. It's going to happen.
Yeah.
It's just depending on when and where in the season. Could be in the beginning. Could be when we're doing a playoff push. Who knows? It's just time will tell on that one.
Agreed. And then the last thing I wanted to talk about. The Sacktown Kings, baby. I'm really excited about this team.
For the first time, they got squad.
I am really excited.
Got that dude from Iowa, what's his name? Out there balling right now.
Keegan Murray, right? Yeah, Murray.
Dude, he's balling, bro.
Yeah, he's playing nice. They got a nice little team. Harrison Barnes, a great vet. De'Aaron Fox, baller. He doesn't play well late because I think he does take a little.
He's doing too much for
the team. He does a little too much, yeah. I think he got paid and he was like, I need to be the guy. That's who they expect me to be. But I like Kevin Herter. I like Holmes, Malik Monk.
They got Malik Monk, too.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Davion Mitchell. They got DeMontis Sabonis.
Sabonis.
Yeah.
I love. I'm a huge Sabonis.
Yeah, I am, too. Really, really looking forward
to. They got squad.
Trey Lyles is a good player. I mean, they got.
Dude, I would not be surprised.
They're going to be in the play-in this year.
No, I won't be surprised that they higher than the Lakers.
Really? Yeah. I mean,
yes, Darren. Yes, TJ. You hit it. You heard it here first. I do predict the Kings will have a better record than the Lakers this year.
I will go one further than that.
Oh.
I will say, of all the over-under totals in the NBA, the one that I am most confident in,
which is?
The Sacramento Kings at 33.5, I'm going
That's
over.
It?
And they're 33.5.
Put that
I
money in now.
I am hammering that because, like I said, I think a lot of teams are going to dramatically tank this year to get Victor.
And the Kings aren't.
And the Kings aren't. And this, I think they give a bleep more than most teams.
Yeah.
I really do. I think.
Well, the whole town is tired, bro.
The Warriors are susceptible to having. They had a slump last year. I think they finished the season like 22-20 in their last 40 games.
Yeah, well, that's because of injuries. A lot of
players. Yes, they were missing a lot of players. But also, you're coming off a title defense. These guys, for the most part, just named some of their players on the Kings. They're young. They're hungry. It means a lot to them. They're tired of getting poo-pooed and, you know, an hour and a half away from the champs, just up Highway 80 right there, you know. I think they're tired of it. I think these young dudes are going to play well this season. I'm really looking forward to catching some Kings games. I was just looking at tickets last night. I'm definitely going to go to a handful of Kings games this year. So the Sacramento Kings, you heard it here first, people. Hammer that 33.5 over.
That is money right there. That is money. I didn't know I was checking out the 33.5.
33.5. Go over.
Drop a note on at least a note.
Yeah.
Let's go.
God,
I've never been so excited for the damn Kings of my Darren. I was trying to get Darren on the show tonight, buddy.
We need to get him on the show soon. I think his squad's going to be really good. Before we get out of here, I have a couple quick grievances to take to air. All right, is that cool?
Oh yeah, let's do it.
You know what really grinds my gears?
When people do not clean up after their dog poops on the ground.
Dude, especially when you're watching them, too.
It's unreal. Have you no shame? People want to talk about politics being the end
really
of America. No.
Yeah.
It's that mentality that I don't have to clean up after my dog's own poop. That is the mentality that is destroying the fabric of our society. I hate those people.
I got one real quick.
You know what really grinds my gears?
Who does these damn schedules for the NFL on these prime games?
Oh, man.
We saw it.
These primetime games are tough.
Washington, the Bears last week, Sunday night.
We had Denver, Indy the week before on Thursday
which
night.
Which was horrible. Yep, this week, real quick. Saints, Cardinals, Thursday, I could live with that. That's fine. Steelers-Dolphins. Eh. Monday, Bears-Patriots on Monday night. Bears-Patriots, dude. Let's go. You're trying to attract the fan that doesn't watch the game.
Well, and then the Bills-Chiefs doesn't get a primetime slot?
You feel me?
What are we doing? We're
watching the Cowboys on Sunday night, bro?
We saw Mahomes and Josh Allen
trade game to watch.
Three touchdowns in a minute and 36 seconds in the playoffs last year. What are we doing? Oh, I'm with you there.
Oh, God.
I got one more.
All right.
You know what really grinds my gears?